Lem E's parents met during the Second World War. Father Jim was from Ulster, and Mother Doris was from England. Their home was in Forest Green, London. When Lem was 4, his father died of tuberculosis. With 3 children, Lem, Jim, and Leslie, and no husband, his mom had a breakdown and ended up in hospital for 13 weeks. Leslie, his sister, was fostered and eventually adopted. Jim and Lem were sent to a Bernardo's home at Tunbridge Wells. In his early life, Lem cried a lot, and by the age of 3, he was beaten with a bamboo cane. He was not cared for by his mum. As he was small, he ended up in a lot of fights. His mum could not cope, and at the age of 6, she decided to send him to Fairbridge Farm for orphans and underprivileged New South Wales in Australia. Just before his 7th birthday, his mum took him to Knockholt House in Kent and left him there. A few weeks later, she came back to say her goodbyes. A bus took Lem to Tilbury Docks to board the SS Strathnabher, which took 6 weeks to travel to Australia, arriving on September the 9th, 1954. These children were divided into cottages. Lem's cottage was called Brown Cottage and was looked after by Mrs. Hodgkinson, who ruled like a field marshal. This cottage was one of 24. The children had to work hard on the farm from 6 a.m. in the morning. Lem made friends with Tony Allen, nicknamed Little Liza Jane, whom he initially fought with. Some mothers came to visit their children from time to time. However, it wasn't until he was 16 did Lem realize that his mother didn't love him. A missionary called Mrs. Woods spoke to the kids each Sunday for the first 3 years on the farm. Lem remembered nothing about what she spoke except that there was a God. When he was 12, he won a scholarship to boarding school, Hurlstone Agricultural College in Glenfield. Most of the kids were Aussies and came from rich families, which led to fighting with the English kids. Later, he came back to Fairbridge to complete his studies. At 17, it came time to leave, and Fairbridge fixed him up with a job on the railways at Cunambo as a station attendant. Len got involved in drinking, fighting, and gambling. In 1964, he transferred to Narrow Mine, and he met a guy called Mick. This guy intrigued him, as he had long hair and faded jeans. He was a drifter, and at times they would meet up and listen to music together. After 6 months, the railways moved him to Tranji, which was known as Tragedy Town. It was here he met Keith Prince, who had worked on the farm with him. Keith had been to prison and had drifted from time to time. Len left work and joined Keith drifting on the road. He used his very last pay packet to get a suit and boots to dress like the Beatles.
The train goes down the track. There ain't no turning back. Life is just the same. There ain't no two-way lane. When you reach the end and eternity begins, which station will your train be in? The ship goes out to sea. See the billows roll, just like you and me. Storm clouds on our souls. When the harbor lights are shining in the dim, which port will your ship then be in? Jesus, he can be the captain of your soul. He will take you home. Let him take control. Just for you and me, Jesus' life was shown. For on Calvary, his death salvation bore. When you reach the end and you stand before his throne, heaven or hell, which one will be your home? Jesus, he can be the captain of your soul. Take you home, let him take control. The train goes down the track. there ain't no turning back. Life is just the same, there ain't no two-way lane. When you reach the end and eternity begins, which station will your train be in? You've got to ask yourself, which station will your train be in? Which station will your train be in? You've got to know, though, which station will your train be in?
They visited Devoe, and in a pub talent contest one night, Len sang in public for the very first time. The crowd loved it, and so did Len. The band playing that night suggested that Len should join a group called the Ravens down in a town called Orange. That's exactly what Len did, and the band had local success, which the band was happy with, but Len wanted more. He headed off to Sydney, seeking success, but found disillusionment, having replied to newspaper adverts for different bands without getting hired. Len decided to head back to Fairbridge, and they got him a job in Camden on a rotolactor, milking cows. After a few months, he gathered some money and headed back to Sydney to again seek stardom. Len met Nev Digby on the road, who gave him a lift into Campbelltown. Nev witnessed to him of his need for salvation.
I pray this world is coming.
Conversations. It wasn't long before the group was doing drugs. Drink and drugs brought pleasure, but it didn't last. Then tried hypnotism and Buddhism, but still felt empty inside. The emptiness of his lifestyle made him begin to search for Nev Digby, the guy that had spoken to him of Jesus. Len went to Campbelltown, found the church he spoke at, and was invited to attend. However, Nev was out of town that week. After church, a guy called Bruce brought him back to the main road. Len shared his story of loneliness and the aching in his heart. Bruce prayed with him and gave him a New Testament. When he got back, he phoned the guys out of the band and told them he had got saved and was no longer partying. He was leaving the group to follow God. Len met a guy called Dave, who was also leaving the city to head to the Outback Mines. He decided to join him on the journey to Brooklyn Hill. Len brought his New Testament and read it every day. He pretended to understand it, but what he didn't understand was that he had a religious experience and not a true conversion.
She made your life.
with ulcers and was having difficulty eating. So he passed through Broken Hill and headed to Narrow Mine, where his dad lived. Money was running out fast, so Len sought to pick up work. He was now done with his Christian experience. He had tried it and it didn't work. Len took up a painting job, and one day, while painting in a swimming pool, a car pulled up and out jumped Ned Digby. They went for dinner together, which ended with Len again on his knees, parroting a prayer without sincerity. Len headed back to Sydney and rejoined the caveman group. He told them he had tried Christianity, but it didn't work for him, and it wasn't long before he slipped back into drink and drugs and an immoral lifestyle. While in Sydney, his brother Jim visited. He was with the merchant Navy and had a week on shore. Speaking of home, Len thought of his mother and how he would like to see her. Someone suggested working his way back to England. Len planned working in the Northern Territories and leaving from Darwin. Off he travelled alone on the trains. Money was dwindling, so he hitchhiked part of the journey. A bus came by and a guy offered to pay his way to the mines, and when he got work, he could pay him back. Charlie became good friends with Len, and they ditched the idea of working the mines when they found that the council paid as much. Len would get drunk and end up in fights regularly, but eventually he raised enough funds to begin his journey and set off to Singapore. Calcutta and met up with a group which was heading for the hippie trail. They boarded a train bound for Nepal. Eventually, they transferred to a bus which took them to Kathmandu. The first person he met offered him drugs. As he took the drugs, he started searching for God. Amongst other things in his hallucination, he thought of his mother. He saw the emptiness of religion and compared it to Nev Digby, who had something real. The drugs made them depressed. Next, he took a flight to Patna and a train on to Delhi. He had taken so many drugs, he made himself quite ill. A Scottish man came across his path who drove hippies back to England. Len joined him on the journey. They headed through Iran and Turkey, but money was running low. So Len sold his blood for money in Greece, and on they headed through Yugoslavia. Then the van broke down, so Len hitchhiked through Austria, West Germany, and into Belgium. Soon, Len arrived in England. His mother was not at the house when he got home. A voice behind the door told him Mrs. McGee was working and would be back later. Len explained who he was, and the neighbor let him in. Eventually, his mother returned. It had been 14 years since they last met. All the time Len was away, he felt the missing piece of life's jigsaw was his mum, but soon found out this piece didn't fit. He met his sister Leslie, who had been given up for adoption. She was now 18. Leslie and her husband were Christians. Feeling the emptiness of his shattered dreams, he came across a Bible in the wardrobe. His appetite for reading it increased the more he read, and the more he recognized God's holiness and his own sinfulness. As the truth was revealed, Len cried out to God for forgiveness, and an incredible peace flooded him. He knew forgiveness and assurance of salvation. He met an elderly couple whom he knew were Christians, and they explained God's word to him more clearly. By understanding what God had done for him, he experienced true love for the first time in his life.
As I think of the cross, the
church. Van was asked to sing. He felt that it was part of his past, but God had other plans. He began writing songs. A while later, Van received a call to preach through God's word. He got accepted into Elam Bible College, Capel, in Surrey, and God met all his financial needs to enter. After college, he was placed in a church in Moor Common, Lane End, near High Wycombe. Len was their first pastor, and God used him to lead people to Christ. In 1973, Len cut his first record, and through time, released 9 albums. He met and fell in love with Heather, and she became his wife while she was studying at Gypsy Hill Teachers Training College in Kingston in 1976. They worked together as a team, serving the Lord. She played keyboard and wrote some of the songs they recorded. After 3 years at Lane End, Len pastored in Portsmouth and then in Watford. In 1980, after much prayer, Len stepped out as an evangelist. In January 1979, he got an invite from Nev Thigpen to come and preach in Australia. Len and his wife Heather went for 2 months and later returned to plant churches and pastor there, telling people of the love and peace he experienced when he trusted Jesus as his own personal Savior.
You can live your life. Just one thought, and then I'm through. You've read the story, you've heard the story, I've read it here in the book of this man, Lenny, a man who went on the search for peace and happiness. But sadly, he went the wrong way. And if you start out going in the wrong direction in life, you'll never get to the right destination. Len McGee eventually found the answer. John's Gospel, chapter 14, the Lord Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." A lot of people want to find happiness, get to heaven. But in order to get to heaven, you have to go the right way. Thomas asked the Lord Jesus, "What is the way? How can we find the way to heaven?" And Jesus gave him the answer. In John 14, verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you don't come to Jesus Christ, like Len McGee came, you can't find the way to heaven, the way to peace, and the way of forgiveness. That was a great hymn that Sarah sang at the end. There was such meaning in it. And if you remember the words at the very end, if I could just read the chorus, it says, "But if you turn away his love today, you don't know when you'll call." All of us in this room are just passing through life. We don't know when we will take our last breath, but we know one day we will. And God is going to call all of us out of this world. And you have to be ready. My simple question to you tonight is this: are you ready if God was to call you home tonight? Fill in the gap. Fill in the blank. If I die tonight, I will be in prayer. What's the answer? What's the way? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one, no man comes unto the Father but by me." Thank God that Len McGee found salvation in Jesus Christ. You too can be born again. You too can be saved tonight. Thank you.
1929, an abandoned father land. Wasn't it the drugs? Wasn't it false religion? Wasn't it the drink or the gambling or the immoral living? But he found the answer in a person called Jesus Christ. He found forgiveness. He found peace. He found eternal life. We pray for anyone in our meeting tonight, still outside of Christ, may they come like them to be, bow the knee, and repent and cry unto Jesus Christ for forgiveness. He says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." We thank you that Len McGee is on his way to heaven and on his way home. And Lord, as we separate now one from the other, part us with your love and with your blessing. May the peace of God and the joy of God, the grace of God, rest from him and abide upon all your people. Until Jesus comes for all his people who calls us home early in the vision. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We give you.